Today we're going to talk about the Blessed Sacrament, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the living, breathing Jesus Christ, the Lord Savior among us. And I think the most important thing to realize is that as a priest, it's one of the greatest gifts that I have received, and that is to celebrate the Mass. But the Eucharist is really a response that God gave to our need, the fact that we need Him. Now, we do notice this need in every single aspect of our lives. We have the need for food. We have the need for companionship. Now, how many people at one time or another have hugged somebody? Well, why? Why do we hug them? I remember some guy, he hugged his mom so tight that she ended up in traction for a couple weeks. Why do we want to squeeze them? Because in reality, what we're trying to do is we want to squeeze them inside of us. Because that is where God belongs. He belongs inside of us. Not some God that's way out there someplace in the highest heavens, but a God that is intimately united with each and every one of us. You see, we are redeemed not as a group. We're redeemed as individuals. We are loved into existence as individuals. And the relationship that we are called to is an individual, personal relationship with Christ. This relationship can only be if Christ dwells and lives among us. You can't love an ideal. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you try to do. You can't love somebody you don't know. You can't love somebody who isn't present. And you have to make sure that you love someone that raises you up from yourself to become someone greater. So many people use that word love in such a very strange way. I hear kids saying they love hot dogs and people saying they love their car or they love their home or they love their furniture. And this use of the word love is so sad because you can't love inanimate objects. Because you become like them. You become exactly like what you love. And so our love has to be fixed on someone that raises up us up beyond our humanity, beyond our human nature, beyond our fallen human nature. And so what does God do? We know that He's born in Bethlehem. He's raised as a child. He lives among us, dwells among us, and He promises to send us, not only His Spirit, but to remain with us. I will be with you until the end of time. He promises that He is going to give us a food greater than the manna given in the desert. And then he says, I will give you my flesh to eat. Now, we're not talking just symbolically here. Jesus didn't say, take and eat. This is kind of like my body. He said, take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood. Now, we have to understand that there's a reason why Jesus, at the Last Supper, consecrated separately the bread becoming His body, the wine becoming His blood. Because in the times of Jesus, the Jews believed that the soul lived in the blood. And for Him to say, unless you eat me alive, He had to say, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. In other words, unless you consume me as you see me standing here. And thousands upon thousands of people walked away from Him because they could not even begin to fathom what He could mean and how it could take place. And as they were walking away, and this is something extraordinarily important to recognize, that as they're walking away, He doesn't change. He doesn't say, wait a second, you don't understand what I'm saying. He says it again. Amen, amen. You know what that means? It means listen up and get it straight. That's what amen, amen means. So He says, listen up and get it right. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, which is real food, and drink His blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me and I in him, and I will raise him on the last day. He who does not eat my flesh and drink my blood has no life within him. Jesus made it an absolute condition of our salvation, of what He came to bring us, to consume Him, to take Him within us. Now imagine this. Here we hug people. We try to squeeze them inside of us. I even heard when I was a little kid, someone said to my little baby brother was in a baby buggy, and someone came up, this lady came up, and she said, oh, he's so cute, I could eat him up. What? I immediately wanted to defend my brother. I really believed that this woman was going to eat my brother. Why? Why do we say stuff like this? Because it is part of our very nature to have the beloved God who saves us dwelling within us, who created us dwelling within us, who sanctifies us dwelling within us, who redeems us dwelling within us. Adam and Eve lost the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity. Through their sin and their ego, they threw God out of them, and they were left with emptiness and loneliness. They had nothing inside. And you know something? If you really stop to think of it, every single one of us try to put something in there, and it never fits. It never works. Look at little kids on Christmas. How many kids, oh, they want this. Oh, good heavens, I've heard like 5,000 times in the past 2 years, if I only had an Xbox. And parents are going nuts with how many times they've got to rebuy something. And you know what? How many times you've seen kids, they're living for these gifts. And within 10 minutes after opening them up on Christmas morning, they're playing with the box it came in. Because nothing satisfies us. Think about our own lives. How many times we think something will make us totally and completely happy, and once we get it, it just doesn't make it. It's just not enough. We aren't happy because of it. It doesn't complete us. We're always looking for more, a bigger house, a better car, more money, more power. And the reason we have this inside of us is because we don't have what we need, that we aren't filling that space that only God can fill with God. And so he comes and he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. And then at the Last Supper, take and eat. This is me. Take and drink. This is my blood. And he tells us to make it live again. Do it over and over again. Make this live again. And the beauty of the Eucharist is that every single time we go to Mass, we enter into the I Am of God. That means that I literally, in the Eucharist, am transported to Calvary. I can be part of that sacrifice that he made 2,000 years ago. St. Paul says something that's very odd at first glance. He says, I make up in my body the sufferings lacking in that of Christ. Nothing could be lacking in that of Christ. Christ's sacrifice was complete. It was perfect. He's God made man, unless there is a way to enter into that sacrifice as it is happening. Only then do his words make sense. Only then does the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist truly become something that we can truly live. Why? Because we enter into the sacrifice. We enter into his passion, his death, and his resurrection. Now we know that this is not something that just happened past tense. When you look at the Catholic Church, you see in every Roman Catholic Church, you see a cross with Christ hanging on it. Why? Because that sacrifice will continue living and happening till the end of time, till the last person is saved. Because it was the I Am that hung on that cross. That is why we don't take Christ off the cross. Think about it. We don't have a cross there. Do you know how many crooks were crucified? How do I know it was his? If he's not on it, it ain't his. That's at least my point of looking at it. Jesus came to give us himself. He promised that he would be with us all days until the end of time. And he allows us through this great mystery of faith to become one with his passion. It explains everything. It explains how suffering can have value. Because I can actually take my suffering and I can go to Calvary. I can go to the foot of the cross and I can look at Jesus And I can tell him, take this as a sacrifice. I offer my pain to alleviate yours. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus hung on that cross, he saw me standing there. He heard my prayer, and he accepted my sacrifice, my pain, my difficulties, my frustrations, my humiliations, and he took them and took them into himself. And I became part of the redemption. And by doing so, we draw down the graces won by Christ's redemption to the men and women of this day and age. We become participants in the merciful love, the forgiveness, the compassion, the beauty of Christ. The Eucharist is everything we need to live. Just as food feeds the body, we need the Eucharist. We have to have it. And it can't just be bread. It can't just be wine. In our church, after the words of consecration, there is no bread, there is no wine. In that tabernacle, there is no bread. It is the living body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, living. The same Jesus that walked the streets of Jerusalem. The same Jesus that opened the eyes of the blind and raised the dead. That same Jesus who forgave sins. That is who is in the tabernacle, not what. That is who we receive when we walk up. And the priest says, the body of Christ. Amen. So be it. It is. Not based on whether or not we believe it, but in itself it is him. The Savior of all mankind. The God who redeems us. The God who forgives us. The God who loves us. The God who raises us up into himself. The God who feeds us with himself. Oh, to become what we eat, to become Christ. That is the reason he gives us his body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's why he comes to us so quickly and so easily. Because he doesn't want us to be afraid. He doesn't want us to shy away from him. He comes to us under the form of bread and wine so that we will never be afraid, that we will never consider ourselves so unworthy that we won't even approach him. And why? Because he's also given us forgiveness. He's also forgiven our sins so that we truly can be worthy to receive him. Come to the sacrament of life. Come to the Eucharist. You know, in the church, our churches are open, and there are people praying all the time. Why? Because we don't go to hear some great preacher. We don't go as a cult figures and make big things of everything. And, oh, I'm a talker here, and I speak there, and I draw the crowds. Why? Because it's Jesus. That's what it's all about. That's what it's always been about. It's been about Christ. It's about the Son of God, the Son of Mary, the one who gives us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink. And it is real food and real drink, for we, within ourselves, contain the uncontainable. We have dwelling within us the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our God, our King. That is the Eucharist. Let us never, ever, ever become complacent and just see bread and wine. Let us never assume that there is nothing more there than a symbol. For under those small, tiny substances, there is the real Jesus, the living Jesus, the Christ, the Savior of all mankind. What a great gift. What a great gift. Just think. For all those who see bread and wine and all the religions of the earth, what good does it do to think back 2,000 years to a Jesus who lived past tense, died past tense, rose past tense? And here's another thing you got to keep in mind. that whenever Jesus spoke about his passion, death, and resurrection, he never used the word but. He said, the Son of Man will be handed over. He will be condemned. He will die. And he will rise from the dead. He didn't say but. If Jesus would have said, but he will rise from the dead, it would be a happy ending. But it isn't a happy ending because Christ will suffer, die, and rise in every single person, in every single human being, until the last one of them rises with him. That's the reason we know that Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, dwells in every tabernacle of every Catholic church on earth. That we can be certain with the absolute and unconditional certitude of faith that Jesus is among us. That he dwells and moves and has his being with, in, and through us. We must take that food, and we must, as Roman Catholic Christians, become Christ to the world. There is no other choice. We cannot be lukewarm in this. We have to stand up and defend what we know to be the truth. We cannot water down sacred scripture. We cannot pretend to make ourselves feel better about ourselves. It's only bread. That's why so many religions not only got rid of the confessional, but got rid of the true meaning of the Eucharist. If it is only bread and wine, what do I have to change? I'm only thinking back about a historical figure. But if it is Jesus, if what we know to be true is the living, breathing presence of God among us, what should be our response? How much more should we love him, knowing the gift that we have received so far beyond anything that we could possibly imagine, a greater gift than even the angels have in heaven? For we can consume our beloved Lord. His hands are in our hands. His heart is beating in our heart. His blood courses through our veins. We look out of his eyes for 15 minutes after we receive him in the Eucharist. And why? So that we can know him, that we can love him, and that we can become him. Because that's what faith is really all about. To be Jesus. To become Christ to the world, to let the world know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, by the lives we live, that Christ lives.